shorts and bag.
That's a nasty looking finger, lady.
You got the bait?
What? No.
Hey, I got your fertilizer.
We made you.
Welcome back, interweb friends. This is Stop the Movie I Want to Get Out. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. I'm Alex Dunbar, joined this week by Jack Estabrook.
This week you can call me LJ, you know, on account of the informal situation and all.
We were just talking about what we're going to talk about in this movie. A lot of my questions have to do with that character. Cody Wolf.
Hello.
Oh, no. Yeah, there's not much. There's not, really there's not much in the catchphrase department.
Well, there not really.
Well, there is one.
There's a couple dumb lines. But.
And Christy Smorrow.
I feel like I've already forgotten this movie, and I watched it this morning.
Very forgettable. Our movie is 2004's Resident Evil Apocalypse, the second movie in
the surprisingly long Resident Evil series.
Like, never.
It's still
they're
going.
Like, they're like
still
competing going. With the Underworld movies. They just gotta...
For movies that I don't understand how they have had this longevity. Like, I saw the first Resident Evil. I don't even know why, but I saw it. I don't know that I know anyone who's seen any of
the
other Resident
Evil.
It's
gotta be like a market for it, because they gotta be making money.
Yeah. Like,
hope so. Otherwise, that's a lot of movies to lose money on.
Yeah.
I love the Resident Evil like games and stuff, and I went to see the first one in the theater, and I can get into it later, but I was kind of, you know, I was obviously disappointed because it wasn't very good. But then I went to see this one in the theater, and I was even more disappointed, so I haven't seen any of the other ones.
Yeah.
But I think probably it's because they turn into action movies is why they're still going.
They must make like money. Yeah. I mean, or they wouldn't keep making them. I mean, they've now 15 years since the first one and one came out. Yeah. That's crazy.
Well, in a way, it a little bit reminds me of Fast and the Furious, except Fast and the Furious, like midway through, kind of figured out what it was going to be, and the second half of the series is way better than the first half. But Underworld and Resident Evil, I don't feel like found that groove.
Yeah.
They're just making the same thing over and over again.
They must, the international numbers on these be what's keeping them both of them afloat. I can't imagine U.S. box office as this going.
Yeah.
And before we get into it, this movie felt like a relic to me. Like,
it was very dated.
Yeah.
It had a lot of like crazy like motion blur effects when the zombies attack. There's lots of music.
And just even like the whole idea of like, it's a movie that was sent to theaters starring Mila Jovovich with this just super generic plot. Like, it's not particularly notable. Like,
I literally probably didn't even have to watch it to refresh. Like, I felt like I haven't seen it in years. I should watch again to refresh my memory. Then I got done watching. I was like, there was nothing there I didn't remember.
Yeah.
It's basically just point A to point, you know.
And Mila Jovovich isn't in, like, a significant chunk in the middle. Like,
that's
it's like
true.
She was like on vacation or on another shoot or doing another movie or something.
She's weirdly absent from some of it. And a lot of like, just the bar is set so low on this movie. Like, it's of all the movies we've done, maybe this one has the lowest expectations of itself. It doesn't even really seem to be trying that hard.
No.
No. Well, I think that they, because the first one, really there wasn't much from the video games in it. It was basically just like the Umbrella Corporation was like the only,
and
like the dogs, setting and like a couple things, but, and I think like that the last bad, you know, the big bad guy was from one of the games. So this one they crammed more of the stuff from the games in, like more characters like Jill Valentine, who's from the first game, who I don't know why wasn't in the first movie, but then they cram her in this one and she's like terrible. She doesn't have any.
There's no reason for her to be there. And her introduction scene, where she walks into the police department, looked like a scene you'd see in a
parody.
In a parody film. Yeah. Like she comes in, she's just immediately, she's wearing next to nothing, and she just starts shooting people in the police department, and then someone's like, "Hey, Jill, here's your next assignment. Thanks, Chief." It's kind of like that. And I was like, that played out like a Police Academy movie, or
I really thought, that's...
Or like The Naked Gun, like...
Well, let's start. All right, let's start right at the beginning of this one. So we start off with a brief. It's not that brief. We get a recap of the first Resident Evil, and it's actually quite extensive.
I actually appreciated that. Not that this movie required a lot of knowledge, except evil government made zombies. But I never saw the first one.
Right.
So I wasn't lost, or if I did, I didn't remember it. So
I guess it was fine, and the concept of that. This virus was let loose within this government weapons facility called the Hive.
Yeah,
and then they sealed the Hive. And at the beginning of this movie, their theory is, okay, we're going to open it back up.
Because that's always the smart thing to do.
And they seem really unprepared. It's like maybe eight guys with guns standing there as they open it.
And they open this big door really wide instead of...
We gotta make sure, yeah.
Yeah, like nothing about this. It just, like, obviously this is the premise the movie needs to get the ball rolling, but it was like, this is pretty dumb.
Yeah.
I don't, okay, you know, things go horribly wrong immediately. And the government starts freaking out immediately. This is where I'm going to have a couple questions to get in. So the government / the Umbrella Corporation, who may be the same thing. I don't, for the purposes of this movie, they seem to be the same thing.
They've taken over the world. I think they're
just bigger than the government.
Maybe they're bigger than the government.
They say at one point they're like the biggest and most powerful like entity basically anywhere.
Yeah. So they want to start extracting key people from Raccoon City because that's what the weapons facility was built underneath, including our old friend Jared Harris, who I was very excited to see show up in this movie.
This was the moment where I started to think, wait, have I seen this movie before? Because for some reason, seeing him just sparked something in my mind of, I think I might have seen this one, because I thought I had seen the first one and that was it. But then seeing him... started reminding me of things, but not enough to really be able to say, yes, I've seen this movie before.
Right. And he's pretty good in this. I mean...
I was thinking that during one scene, I was like, he's really giving it more than anybody else in this movie even thought of giving it.
Yeah.
Like, he's actually, like, trying to act in it.
He kind of has the benefit of being in such a small part that he's able to make the most of a small part, but, like, he... Like it's and part of this is the rest of this movie is abysmally casted. So having like everyone's a just great so actor, I mean, the rest of it has a real soap opera quality to it. Like that there was no prep, no blocking. Like we're just like deliver these lines, like hit this mark, deliver this line.
Right.
I will say I thought the girl that played Jill, and not having ever played the games, I don't really know, but the girl that played Jill, I felt like. Looked and moved like a video game character.
Well, I think I was reading she actually like studied how the video game character moved in the video, which is ridiculous because it's a PlayStation game from 1995.
But yeah. I'm sure the movement's great.
Yeah, yeah. But she like based her movements off of that, which kind of looked weird in the movie. But and her outfit was
similar. She wore the right color.
Yeah,
she was like light blue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because there's a line early on in the movie where I think it's like during the recap or whatever. I can't remember, but there's like a newscast. And they say it's like there's a heat wave, and I was reading that like Mia Jovovich suggested that to explain why like Jill Valentine was dressed so skimpily because she's wearing like nothing.
Except everybody else has like coats on.
Right. Yeah.
Full tactical gear, but when you're a supermodel and you're fighting zombies,
like the shortest skirt you can.
You gotta wear next to nothing for those to keep those 13-year-old boys coming to the theater.
That felt very shameless to me of like this is how we're gonna get 13-year-old kids. Right. This lady's gonna walk around in a
comically
short skirt.
Her character was one of the reasons I was most disappointed when I saw the movie because again she's like the main character from the first game. Or if it depends on in the game you can play as one or two different characters. It's like different things happen.
I always played
as Jill Valentine because it was easier.
Yeah.
And so she's like, you know, the main character of the game, and she wasn't in the first movie, and then they cram her in the second one, and literally she does nothing throughout the entire movie. Yeah, she comes in, like Jack was saying, that dumb scene where she's like some crazy action star or something, where she's like shooting all the zombies in the police station. She's like,
And she has her own newspaper clippings up on her own wall.
Yeah,
How she got suspended.
I was totally expecting to see Mia Jovovich in that scene. I was like, okay, this is how we get the reintroduction of Mia Jovovich. Now she's on the move and she's going to fight back. But no, I was like, who the hell is this?
Yeah.
I forgot about Jill Valentine.
Well, Jill Valentine also has like what the disease Halle Berry had in Die Another Day, where somehow her character starts off very high functioning and seems to get dumber through the film.
Yeah.
Rather than getting more competent, she's
like learning as she goes,
like worse and worse. Yeah.
She's just so wasted on like at this point they were so far from the video games, it's like why even bother?
My experience with the Jill Valentine characters from the Marvel versus Capcom fighting games anyway. So I don't know as much about her importance to the series. I just know who she is. It's a fight.
Well, she's in the first game and she's in the third game, which is Nemesis, which is where the Nemesis from this movie comes from.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, is he the guy with like the really huge mouth and the really long tongue?
Or the
in this
guy
in
with
this
the
movie,
guns.
He looked different. But I know that isn't there like a zombie with like it's basically his head looks like Pac-Man, but like a horror movie version.
Maybe at some point. I only
are those the things that attacked in the church? Really
Those are
from the second game.
Oh, okay, yeah. Those are not Nemesis. Okay.
No, Nemesis is the big guy with big guns.
The orc, the super orc guy.
Yeah.
Got it.
All right, so they're
who has a heart of gold at the end of the movie.
Of course,
it seems to.
It's
yeah.
Beauty and the Beast. It's Beauty and the Beast.
So the Umbrella Corporation is extracting all these people. They extract scientist Jared Harris. He's like, hey, you got to get my daughter. They're like, yep, yep, we're working to extract
now,
her what, too.
Now, is the idea here that Raccoon City has become so overrun by the zombies that they're giving up and they're falling back? Or is the idea here supposed to be that they purposely turned Raccoon City into a zombie land, which they then walled off so they could see what was going on? Like, no, it's a sick experiment.
I think they tried to have it both ways.
I was
going to
say, it's not really
well,
clear.
No, I think that once everything was going down, then they were using it as like a opportunity to like study
they
what,
decided, well,
study
what the
these,
hell?
Yeah, at that point, I think, but them getting out, I don't think was part of any plan. Cause,
okay.
Yeah, that's how I saw
it. Because that was very confusing to me of like, was this intentional or, you know, or are they just having trouble with their reaction?
No, I think, yeah, I think the accident, them getting out was an accident, but once they're out, they're like, okay, let's see how this plays out. Let's see what goes down.
So literally some guy's like, ah, well,
yeah.
You know,
well,
let's well. Make the best yeah. of a bad situation.
I think so, yeah.
Okay. So his daughter, Jared Harris's daughter, is picked up at her school.
Which there's, if you've never seen the first movie, the daughter is like, she's connected to the first movie because in the first movie, I don't know if you've ever seen even the trailers, it's like the little hologram girl.
Yes.
And it's that girl because it's like the creator's daughter. He uses her image for it. So in the first movie, she's like constantly popping up and like she's the one who says like, you're all going to die down here, whatever she says. And so she's like important, or she's involved in the first movie. So
now they're literally putting her in the plot.
Right.
In
so the now plot. The actual girl's in this movie.
And so they get her, they put her in an SUV.
Which they never, like, mentioned. They just kind of let you figure that out.
But this is really weird. Yeah. The SUV gets broadsided by a cement truck.
Yes.
And then the little girl is, like, twitching. And I thought, well, she's got the virus and she's going to be a zombie. Which well, they do kind she, of explain
but
later
she,
on.
I don't think
well,
she died,
that
but
was
in
not...
that scene, I thought she was dead and was going to rez.
But here was my
she's
real
literally,
question.
Like, like, her hand is twitching kind of in an unnatural way, like it's bending a little bit weird. I thought it even may have been a CG.
But before we even get to that, here's my real question.
Okay.
What was like, I was like, oh, there's a counter plot and
like
somebody wants to take out this SUV.
No, it was just an accident.
This was just an accident where apparently... And it, remember, most of Raccoon City at this point has no idea anything is wrong. But I guess no one responded to this accident, or and the cement truck just kept driving. Or
and
like,
then this little girl, after getting in this accident, just went to school.
Yeah
just
maybe
went
the truck was being driven by a zombie.
I could not understand. This hung over me for the first half of the movie of like, what was the deal with that accident?
No, it was just an accident.
You know, and I'm like, because the coincidence
so lazy
is
lazy writing.
Yeah, I was like, so that was just lazy. They needed to have this get into an accident and have the girl not even receive basic medical treatment or like,
yeah, because it could have been.
There was a throwaway line later of somebody talking to Jared Harris saying, "We, you know, she must have survived. We didn't find her at the crash site." So Umbrella went to the crash site. There was some sort of response.
Okay.
Yeah, because it could have been like that. The bad guy there, the evil Umbrella guy, had been, you know, maybe they like. Stop the daughter from getting out or whatever, just to have control over the, you know, Jared Harris or I like they could have done something.
I kind of kept even thinking that's where it was going.
Leverage.
It was like, nope, they're just on
leverage.
The same day that the zombie virus was out, there was also this devastating accident in Raccoon City.
I wonder if that was a recut. I wonder if that was a plot that was lost in editing.
Maybe. So now we get the scene you were talking about, Jack, where Jill Valentine shows up at the police station.
Yep.
And it's. There's zombies everywhere. And you know what's amazingly hilarious about this scene? The movie is asking you to believe the premise that all of these police are just like, all right, I just got to keep doing my job. I got to write this report while this zombie's trying to eat my face. And, oh, hey, somebody try to get those zombies into the lockup. You know.
And the guy's still, like, chained to the bench.
I know. Another guy's handcuffed. Yeah. Like, some of the cops seem... It's like Shaun of the Dead where they're like oblivious that they're in a zombie movie and are just trying to do their jobs.
You know, there were a lot of, you mentioned him being chained up because Jill Valentine shoots the handcuffs. That was the first of many scenes in this movie where a character thinks they're about to get shot, winces,
oh,
and then something
so
else
much.
Gets shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, you shot the chain.
And I think
oh, you
most,
shot the zombie behind me.
Most
oh,
of
you
the
shot
time,
the
it was
guns.
Mike Epps getting
yeah.
that.
Yeah,
mostly.
Yeah.
That moment.
Yeah.
That moment.
It was kind of like that scene. Which movie was it? It was the one with the Baldwin there in the police station with... Chris, what's his name?
You're talking about
Cindy
Crawford.
Yeah, it's very fair game.
It's like fair
game
if there were zombies in the PlayStation.
Yeah. Yeah,
where I remember that scene.
And then some of the other cops are like, hey, Jill, what? Whoa. Yeah. And she's, and then, like, they're like, come on, wait a second. These guys, we got to give these guys due process of law, these zombies.
You well, know? Also, I was assuming this was something that I missed from the first movie, but if Jill Valentine wasn't even in the first movie,
no.
How does she know that these are zombies that she needs to shoot in the head?
Because this just started.
Because she has the newspaper clippings on her board in her house.
That's of her getting suspended, that's though. That has nothing to do
with it. I wonder why she was suspended.
That's a key piece of information in the Umbrella Corporation's evil plot to take over the world of the zombies.
And it's more like lazy writing, where Jill Valentine's learning curve is dramatically higher than anyone else's, as all these other cops
she's
are
like
just
psychic.
Like, yeah, yeah. Hey, I'm going to charge you with trespassing, and meanwhile she's just walking in and being like, no, shoot him in the head.
Yeah, she meets Mila Jovovich, and she doesn't need to know that information anymore, because now all Mia knows more than me. And she just kind of hangs her head, and that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And meanwhile, we cut to, they're doing some kind of weird experiments on Mia Jovovich.
Like flashbacks, though. Oh, no. Flashbacks. She, no.
Well, no, this is
the only thing that confused me, because in the first movie, doesn't she wake up on the bed?
This is the end of the first movie.
Oh, okay.
They just basically go back.
Okay.
Because the first movie ends with, they get out of the hive or whatever, and then they're like, oh, it's all over, all great. And then all of a sudden, Matt starts, like, freaking out, like, his arm starts going crazy. And that's when, like, the scientists come in and he's infected. They take him away to the Nemesis program and she gets taken away to some other room. And then she wakes up and she goes outside and everything's, the city's all effed, and she cocks the shotgun, and that's the end of the first movie.
Oh, so now they just play that scene over.
Yeah. Okay. A good, yeah, for a movie that's about an hour and a half long, a solid 10 minutes of this movie is just either either just showing us or redoing.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I feel like the last 10 minutes of the movie seems like the first 10 minutes of the third movie.
Yeah,
I think that's. I'm curious to watch the rest of the movie, see if that's how they continue on. Like,
because
it seems
like
they start the next movie and then just
it's not a bad idea.
The first
like,
two
concept.
I don't know if you guys ever watched it, but the first two seasons, I think it was two seasons of Alias, would do the same thing where like an episode's story actually spanned two episodes. So every episode, the first half of the episode was finishing the second half of last episode, and the second half of the episode starts a new, so it always ended on a cliffhanger, the story spanned two episodes. That's what this felt like, of this movie is kind of bridging the gap between one and three, and there's a lot of repetition.
Right. Well, the end of one felt more like if there wasn't a sequel, it would have been just a cool ending, like, oh, now everything. Because in the second game, it's like the city's overrun, and you're in a police station, all this stuff. So it's like, oh, it's like the game. Okay, great. And then, but then they go on with the next movie, and they have to explain how the city got there, and then bring her back in. And then they do, oh, we're going to do another sequel, so let's do that again at the end. It's just, like, tiresome.
Yeah, it's very tiresome. Yeah. But they do show, sorry, so she's being experimented on, which I was kind of glad they reminded us of, because I had sort of forgotten that from the end. And they're... And the scientist guy is activating her, and she wakes up and it's like,
I'm ultraviolet now.
Yes. This, a lot of this felt like ultraviolet.
This ultraviolet was more fun to watch.
And I have to say, too, I don't know if anybody caught this. At one point, as they kind of just cut to zombies running around the city, you do see the old like trope of a newspaper headline in a box. And the newspaper headline is
The Dead
the
Walk.
The Dead Walk.
But no, that's actually, I like that because that's actually a reference to Day of the Dead, where there's like an abandoned town wherever they go to get some supplies or something like that, and there's a newspaper that says The Dead Walk.
Okay.
On like the ground or whatever. So that's a
homage. Right,
so I like that.
It just sort of,
if this movie focused actually on zombies, though, I would think I would have appreciated it more.
Well,
because the majority of this movie is like CGI slime balls that with tongues, dogs, and occasionally overly motion blurred zombies that do nothing.
There
more
was something I was really confused about with the zombies, though, because they talk about getting infected if you're bit, but then, like, Jared Harris at the end of the movie he gets shot and suddenly he's a zombie. And the cemetery, the dead bodies already in the cemetery.
The dead bodies, I don't understand. But he might have been using the T-virus on himself because he was sick, too. Maybe he was testing it on himself.
Because it's not really
like his daughter.
Okay, I guess
the cemetery zombies, I don't know.
But yeah, it was very confusing how it spread, because it felt a little bit like Walking Dead. Everybody has it, and once you die, you come back. Yeah. Or traditional zombie bites.
I wasn't really sure.
And the timeline of it, of when you turn into a zombie, when you go from being bit to turning into a zombie, seems to be whatever fits the script best.
Yeah.
I mean, could be hours, could be moments,
you
know, whatever you feel like, basically, do it.
Yeah.
We then kind of meet, and I can't remember this guy's name, sort of the male lead, who's this like super swat guy.
The guy from the Mummy.
Yes.
Yeah. Oded Fehr. I actually really like Oded Fehr.
No.
Yes.
I forgot.
He's good, but Zach Ward was one of the guys.
I had to look him up.
Really?
I'm sitting there like, all right, this guy looks really familiar, and I couldn't resist. I had to look him up to find out he's the kid from the Christmas
Story.
Scott
Farkas.
Yep.
Yeah.
But he was like, because they had him doing some accent, like Russian to Ukrainian.
Because there's Jared Harris with a British accent.
Yep.
There's the German guy. Scientist guy with the German accent.
Oh, yeah.
Oded Fehr has an accent. Mm-hmm. Christmas Story Kid has like a Russian accent.
That made no sense to me because he's
a redhead.
He's like struggling with that. I mean, we're going to be nice. He's struggling with the accent. Yeah, yeah. And he drops it
a couple times.
Yeah. And it was like, for what? Why didn't he?
Now, that's not a character from the game then?
I don't think so. Okay. I mean, maybe from one of the later ones, but not that I know of.
Okay.
Yeah, that was very unnecessary. Yeah.
So these guys were confusing to me because, like, Jill Valentine and her gang, whatever, that's STARS. They're from, like, the games.
Right.
That's, like, the unit you're part of. They go in and...
They're, like, the SWAT team.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Like, STARS, an acronym for something.
Strategic Tactics and Rescue Squad, because I was waiting for that to get explained. So they finally said it at one point.
And then, but these guys are part of, and I kept thinking they're part of STARS, but they're not. They're part of, like, Umbrella's...
Yeah, because they had the Umbrella Corporation logo on their backs.
Yeah, and so they're like Umbrella's, like, you know, muscle, I guess. I don't know, but
yeah.
So they go in as part of Umbrella to.
Do
I don't know what they're doing. They're
this is where
they're just trying to get out.
Like
this
is also unclear. I'm thinking this is a scenario where Umbrella's pulling out, and the zombies have become too much, and they're trying to contain what they've done to like. Prevent themselves from getting like egg on their face for messing up, and then all of the people who aren't infected have to band together to escape. But then at the same time, you have those same people go back in for these what you assume are going to be like shady reasons, like collecting samples or killing survivors to make sure nobody gets out or something. But neither is going on. It seems that they go in and now they have to escape too. But then they have to meet up and be friends.
Now
they're testing out their nemesis project on these guys, and you're like, wait, I thought they wanted to pull out.
Let me ask you, because this really confused me with the whole thing Christy brought up earlier of was this intentional or was this not? So these guys work for the Umbrella Corporation.
Right.
But they, like, basically, what point did the Umbrella Corporation have in trapping those guys in there? Do you know what I mean? Like, I didn't understand that.
I do remember they like got separated from their unit or something like that. They got overrun, and then they asked for extraction.
Oh, right.
And then at that point, Umbrella basically said, "You're done. Sorry."
Right, because they go and try to save that woman. That's right.
Which is real boneheaded.
Oh, that's right. The opening when that woman's getting attacked and she's clearly gonna die. Yeah. And we have to risk our lives and save her.
And Oliver repels down.
Yeah, it's a lot of repelling in this movie too.
It's a lot of repelling.
I just kind of assumed that was a thing from the games.
I've never repelled in real games ever.
He repels
the
down.
The first game at least isn't.
I think
like
that was a big
game.
Thing in early 2000s. So
that's
why it's so weird.
That's true.
Yeah.
To save a lady who's already been bit and doesn't want to be saved. Right, yeah. I mean, it's the worst rescue mission ever.
And she just let all of these zombies loose too.
Yeah. So I think then they get. One of them gets bit or something, so then they're just like, well, you guys might be infected, so forget you.
Okay.
And they just kind of cut them off.
Okay, yeah.
I think that's why they're...
What a wreck.
Yeah.
And the other thing that kind of bothered me about the whole setup to everything that's going on is it's been 13 hours, and the city is just decimated and everyone's dead.
Yeah.
Like, I know it's a zombie movie trope that it spreads really quickly, but can it really take over an entire city in 13 hours? These are slow zombies. They're not even like the running zombies.
That seemed troubling. And the whole setup that the Umbrella Corporation has, there's like one gate out of the city. And so they take us there where they're kind of screening people.
And when did they build the wall around Raccoon City?
I didn't understand
that.
Sometime
within those 13 hours where they already realized there's a huge problem.
I know.
They built the wall.
I feel like they're going to have the zombies pay for it, though. build them. You know,
I was gonna go there, but I'm glad you did.
They'll reimburse them.
Yeah, they'll get reimbursed. Yeah. So they go to the gate where people can get out, and it seems to be a pretty cash affair to get out. They do a little scan, and people can get out. But then there's one dude who is, there's one dude who's trying to get out, goes full zombie, and everyone freaks out and they just like shut the gate and like the scientist starts firing his gun in the air and it's like, so there was nothing in place for like for one, if this happened. Like, you know, like you had this elaborate screening process, but if one zombie shows up, shut it down. Like,
I guess they're just being overly cautious.
I guess so. Yeah. But then, which then made me say, why even do this at all? Right, like,
That was another moment where I wasn't sure how it spread because the guy got killed before he bit anybody.
Yeah.
But then one of the guard people said, oh, the virus has made it all the way to the gate. So again, is it spread through the air? Is it spread through biting? Do people just have it? I was very confused about how it spread.
I did not understand that. Yeah. So now everybody's locked inside, including basically all of our characters.
May I say now that when the one guy got bit, Valentine's partner got bit, I'm sorry, I had to say it. You know, I was like, come on, movie, black guy dies first, really? I was like, come on, really?
Well, was that from the game? I don't know. Like that was a reference.
I'm not really bothered by it. But you know what I mean? It's like a cliche
or something. It felt like fan service, but it was like fan service I didn't understand.
No.
Okay.
Because in the first game, they go to the mansion, and it's like one of the STARS teams has disappeared in the area. So they go try to find this other STARS team, and they get to the mansion. They find, like, they're all dead in the mansion. Okay. So they keep finding their bodies.
Okay.
And, like, Chris, like, if you're playing as Jill, Chris, the other character, disappears, and you spend the whole game trying to find him.
Okay.
But there's I think that was just...
Okay, that was just... That was handled very oddly. Yeah. I would agree with Jack, too. It was just very strange. Yeah, because,
like, they just kind of, like, just started introducing this character, building him up, and then he gets bit, and it was just weird.
Oh, and they also pick up this TV reporter.
Yeah, that was weird, too.
Yeah.
Which is a storyline that eventually kind of goes... It doesn't go nowhere, it goes... Whatever's right next to nowhere, that's where it goes. Yeah. you know? And she's... recording things on DV. I can't remember, this movie felt very old. Like, that felt like something you would do in the 90s of having a character with, like, a camcorder recording things.
Yeah. Well, remind me of House on Haunted Hill, the remake. I never saw that. But there's a character who, I think she's a reporter, who's same thing. She's walking around with a camera all day. And then she gets killed and the camera falls and you see her death through the camera. So it's, like, the same exact.
Yep. The same, yeah.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, as people who have worked in news, you don't literally record everything you see. You take pictures.
If you want that Emmy.
I guess so. So all of the... Jill Valentine, her partner, and the reporter go to get inside this church. And the theory is, okay, we gotta get off the streets, get inside the church. Her partner's wounded. They immediately run into this guy who's... performance on a scale of 1 to 10 is at about a 73.
Well, I laughed because
got a gun.
I laughed because he's like, you know, this is my place. Get out of here! And I think the reporter's like, there's more than enough room for all of us. And he goes, don't tell me what to do.
No one told you what to do.
It escalated really fast. Yeah.
And by the way, there is a lot of room.
Yeah, it's a giant
there
church.
There is a lot of room, because like then even stories. Jill Valentine's partner like says to the guy, like, hey, calm down. And then says to the reporter, like, hey, take it easy. And I'm like, take it easy. Like, you shouldn't do anything wrong. She made a pretty basic, you know.
You just hate reporters.
So they then are like, I don't know, somehow they decide to, Jill Valentine's like,
I think they Jill goes around. To investigate.
I think they hear a noise or something.
Jill goes to investigate.
Yeah.
So she like goes, I think like upstairs or something. It's a giant church.
Yeah.
And she like finds a room where like.
She's like in the rectory and the priest is there.
It was a weird thing.
Is he the priest of the church? Is that what they're implying?
That's what I thought.
I think so.
And he's got the zombie tied to the chair and like he's like, sister, oh, it's my sister. I couldn't kill her. You've been feeding him, you son of a bitch. And he's like, whoa.
It felt like something, maybe just because like Walking Dead has done this kind of thing and they can explore it more. But it was like a very like a short scene where they were trying to do something.
A keyhole into a better plot point.
Yeah, yes. But it just didn't make much sense.
It didn't make, and it immediately, and then they immediately go away from it because the zombie gets
killed by her. And
Yeah, there's no reason.
Then everyone gets shot, and then Jill Valentine walks back out in the church, and the movie continues.
Well, and then everything breaks down in the church, so the reporter's like, I'm out of here, and she opens the door. It's all zombies on the outside.
Now, I want to know, this is, I think, the second film we reviewed where somebody has driven a motorcycle through a plate glass window, correct? Or a stained glass window?
Yeah.
Because Batman and Robin. Did we review Batman and Robin?
We did.
Yes, they did, I remember.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need. We do need to talk about this because, like, to jump forward a little.
Where did she get the motorcycle? How did she know to get to the church?
Why is she trying to save these random people?
Yeah, like why?
She so like there's like just a why? Handful of these kind of like. In the video game world, everyone who's played a video game knows these kind of creatures that like jump around from spots on the ceiling, and if you're harder in a shooting video game, they're super hard to kill.
Yeah,
and then Mila Jovovich literally flies in on a motorcycle through a stained glass window.
Yes,
and I'm seeing going.
She somehow knows how to shoot these things better than you know a couple of trained police officers.
Anybody else does?
And because she's got the they've been experimenting on her, so she's slowly being turned into like a super soldier.
There is no way she could have even known this was going on inside the church. I mean, these things are actually like trying to stealth.
Not to mention, she's just blown a hole in the side of the church that more zombies could conceivably get in.
You would think so. This made no sense.
Too high up for them. It was the stained glass.
I did like that they had those mounts. I think they're called lickers in there, just because it's from the second video game where you're in like a police station and they're like they just like come up on the ceiling above you and they can, you know, grab you with their tongues or whatever. See, you're always having to look out for them. But so to have them was kind of cool. But at the same time, they're kind of wasted and.
It seemed dumb. Yeah, that was a mildly cool idea, and they never that creature never comes back again.
No, yeah.
In fact, this is I think one of the last times we actually see a monster. From this point forward, almost everything is just your straight up like.
No, you get the dogs and
you get the dogs.
Yeah, and Nemesis.
But. Well, dogs and Nemesis, which is he a friend? Is he a foe? You know, you do get the dogs, and then just about everything else is just a shuffling zombie.
Right, right.
Well, I really feel like this movie skips the things that I would have found interesting, like. Okay, they showed Alice go into that like sporting goods store and get clothes, but how does she really know the stuff about the liquor monsters? Like, she shows up with the motorcycle and with everything. Like, I want to know her development.
What happened between getting dressed and getting to church?
Right.
Yeah.
She fought all those monsters in the first movie.
Oh, they were in the first movie?
I think they were. They might have. There's monsters that were very similar to him, at least.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she has
there's a bunch of monsters in the first movie that she beat. And then they did the experiment. So I think they're, like I said, trying to make her like some sort of.
Okay. It just felt like the same thing as Jill Valentine, where she walks in and immediately knows these are zombies and you need to shoot them in the head.
Well, I think she just like busted in. She's like, oh, shit, there's monsters here. And now I have to fight them. And she uses her motorcycle to kill one, like blows up her motorcycle.
Yeah. Well, this movie cuts between like what different characters are doing all the way through. And in many times, I feel like what was going on like with the character when they're not on screen was potentially more interesting. Yeah. Like, we were cutting to the least interesting thing that was going on with a character at the time.
Because you could like... Because before this, you see Jared Harris, and he's like, I got to find my daughter. I'm not leaving. I have to find her. And he like starts like searching through security in the city to see if there's anyone out there who can save his daughter. So you could think at that moment maybe he contacted her and like, oh, you have to get these people because they could help. But then later on in the movie is when he actually contacts her, so that's not what happened.
Yeah. She was just like doing this on a whim of like, I bet
I'm going to crash through this stained glass window. Seems fun.
Yeah. This is going to be crazy.
Right.
Yeah. And meanwhile, Mike Epps' character, who, like, this felt uncomfortable to me that they just, like, a lot of, just kind of shoehorned him into, like...
Oh, there's no... Yeah.
Yeah, you're gonna be the joke guy. Yeah.
Literally, every line is a joke.
Yep.
Yeah.
Used to drive a Cadillac.
Yeah.
It reminded me of Jax in Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Yeah.
Except
he, like,
we need the token black guy to be that.
Yeah.
Like, this guy, literally, he could not have been in the movie. It would have made a difference, because he had no... He was just getting saved and wisecracking.
Yeah, they don't give him anything. He's just
he has gold-plated guns that he never uses.
They never shoots anyone with. And it does say something that like Mike Epps is funny, and he and Jared Harris are the two guys who I think are actually elevating the material that they're handed.
Mm-hmm.
But Mike Epps is not given anything.
No,
like, this was very troubling. Yeah. I mean, this movie felt like a relic of this was 2004. I don't think in 2017 a movie would be put out
this is
that
just like,
so shamelessly
this is probably
unless
the
it was
last
a
movie
parody
that happened.
Yeah.
Of making fun of the fact that these characters were treated like this.
And then as Christy mentioned, so now all of our characters kind of are together.
They keep jumping back and forth between the Jill Valentine Alice group and then the
Oliveira's
Umbrella Group.
Yes, the Bounce Mutants.
Well, they're just kind of going around shooting zombies and getting in.
But it turns out they are kind of both. Later on, we find out they both have the same mission.
Well, not yet, yes. though. They don't get. Not
they haven't yet. Gotten. The, right now, they haven't gotten just, all the cell phones ringing. The phone's no. ringing yet.
I think it
for only being an hour and a half movie, it felt really long.
Yeah, it did. Well, this is a point I actually have in my notes that, without being intending to. I got distracted and somehow, while watching this movie, also read an article about Fleetwood Mac and why their Rumours album is kind of overrated.
I read an article about Boeheim while yeah. I was watching this yeah. movie.
And there was a point while I'm reading the Fleetwood Mac article, I'm like, oh, shoot, wait, what, you know, like...
You didn't miss much.
I
was surfing the Facebook.
But we do come up to the grave. This is now basically the graveyard fight. Shoot. Where
well, that happens before the. I think that's what drives them into the church, doesn't it?
No, because
Mila Jovovich is with them in the graveyard fight.
Basically, she says, "We got to keep moving." Then they have that stereotypical, "You've been bit. I'm going to kill you." Then Jill Valentine's like, "No, he's my friend." But we have no, as the audience, we have no evidence that they're like tight.
Right.
And she says, "All right, that's fine. But you know what? Eventually, you're going to turn into a zombie, and I'm going to have to kill you. Let's keep moving." And then like,
by the way, a little bit of foreshadowing. That has never paid off. Yep. I mean, that guy does turn into a zombie, but Mila Jovovich is nowhere near it when it happens.
And then I think that's when the zombies pop out again, right?
Yeah.
And that was the first thing I thought, was what Christy mentioned. I was like, well, these are people that have been, like, dead, some of them for decades.
Yeah.
Underground, 6 feet underground, and what, this virus has penetrated the soil, gone through the stainless steel vault, gotten into the... wooden casket into a body that's so badly decomposed.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Formaldehyde and...
Yeah, the rules of that just don't make any sense.
Yeah.
Also, like, the rules of how to kill a zombie, because just snap the neck.
I was gonna say.
That's it.
She snaps, she snaps like 20 zombie necks, and it just... I've never seen that work with a zombie before.
Yeah. Right?
I don't, it's usually the brain.
Well, that's what bothered me about the scene was... And that's why I like blocked out my mind, because she's like... Alice, anytime she fights anything, she's doing like... kung fu and all, you know, it's like, I don't want to watch someone kung fu zombies, like, shoot him in the head, you know,
or whatever.
It's just, they're all out of ammunition at this point.
Well,
you don't have to hand-to-hand combat with zombies.
Yeah, you don't have to kung fu a zombie. not like a experienced, like, you know, SWAT guy or something who knows how to fight. It's a zombie. Right. Just push him over and run away.
Well, this is, and she's in it, but even if she wasn't in this movie, I would say there's a lot of Mila Jovoviching in this, which is that super choreographed kung fu that makes it look kinetic, though you can tell watching
it's not.
Yep, they probably prepped that routine for like 8 hours.
It's also kind of hard to suspend the disbelief because she's very fit, but she's like 106 pounds.
Yeah.
So she's like tossing people around, and I know later on they write, well, she's been like beefed up on this stuff, but you'd think that she would be like muscular and a little bit more like weight on her, like she could actually put some force behind her punches
Well, the nature of
she could be a strong woman, but I mean, you know, that's something that makes it hard, even in a zombie movie, to believe that the Jill Valentine, that Mia Jovovich, they look like supermodels. They're very skinny, they're very slender, they're very like, you know, and they're just like doing incredible feats of strength. And it's just like, what, huh?
Well,
like,
as Ultraviolet also showed us that in Mila Jovoviching, it's the fights are very dependent on your opponent not moving a lot and being...
And the other opponent's not attacking.
It's, you know, they have to... Your opponent essentially has to be a willing part of the being having their butt kicked in order to get kicked in some of the ways that she wants to do things. Yeah.
By the way, when he said cemetery fight scene, I thought of the endless cemetery fight scene from House of the Dead.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking that, too. Quick note. I think I enjoyed House of the Dead more than I enjoyed this movie.
It was more fun to watch.
I think it was more fun to watch.
I think so. I think this one took itself a little too seriously.
Yeah.
So is this... When they find out that... Oh, no.
This is where they activate the Nemesis program.
Yeah, so Umbrella says, so like, just, okay...
At random, they said, they want to go and release the Kraken.
Yeah, they want to go in and kill Stars, I guess, or... I don't know, I'm not sure.
There is no explanation for motivation. They just want to test it out, but...
Yeah.
I was unclear as what he was... Was he trying to kill all those Stars agents, or like for a reason, or just hey, let's see what he can do?
Yeah, I never played Resident Evil 3, which is Nemesis, but I think in that one, Nemesis is like going around specifically to try to kill the Stars members, and like your Jill.
Like they made a smarter zombie
throughout the whole game. Okay. So I think, yeah, I'm not sure in this one. I think they were just like trying to sell, like Christy said.
But I was really. This is where I,
because there's that scene where he's like, kill all the STARS members, and he like.
This is kind of the the stop the movie moment is when you have this gigantic, like RoboCop zombie with like cybernetic implants, or with a bazooka.
Now this is not rocket.
There's no zombie movie where the zombie like has like a rocket launcher and like walks like the Terminator, and it's like
it's something that looks cool in a video game, but in a movie it did not.
Yeah,
I mean, I appreciated it was a practical effect, that it wasn't a CG. I mean, it looked cool like in some shots.
It just looked like it was the design. So much of the design, other than the rocket launcher and the Jesse Ventura minigun, were so ripped off from the Lord of the Rings that it was like, yeah, we're just seeing a super orc with guns. Like, it was sort of, again, like they're targeting like 12-year-old boys who are like, who like the Lord of the Rings, who are like, oh, what if one of those orcs had a minigun and a bazooka?
Yeah. You know? But again, that was from the characters. I can't remember if he had guns and bazookas in the game, but he was like the bad guy in the game in the third one.
Yeah. Well, and this is also where my mind imploded on itself as we were saying, of like, I'm like, wait, what is the Umbrella Corporation doing? So they're sending, so now they're just like, hey, why don't we bust out that crazy other weapon we have and just see what it can do?
I think like we're going to destroy the city at dawn anyway, so let's just.
Yeah, I think it was just recognition.
Well, yeah, that's
like
right. I forgot about that.
Okay.
This is the ticking clock, right? Is they're gonna blow up the city?
That hasn't been brought up yet, though.
Yeah, but when it does, it makes even less sense, because now we don't know. It could be either one or two things. It could either be we have to evacuate the city because we screwed up when we're trying to contain it and keep as little people knowing about this as possible in the outside world. A, B. We purposely let the zombies out and have now put the walls out because we're evil mad scientists. We want to see what happens. But then neither makes sense because they're just going to nuke the city anyway. So evacuate everyone who's alive, contain the city temporarily, and then nuke. But that's never what they do. It's always this weird, we got to get everyone out of the city. Well, I guess now we can play around, and then we're going to destroy everything anyway. So then, what does it matter?
Well, because then moments later, Alice, the Mila Jovovich character, they meets the super orc, and the scientist guy is like, this is what we've been waiting for. And I'm like, this is what... You could have done this any time. You controlled both
lab,
of these.
You could have done it.
You could have done this in the lab in a.
But why didn't they brainwash Mia Jovovich to be like walking around with?
Well,
like we have two of these super weapons.
Yeah,
we don't
exactly
know how it mutates.
I don't know why they want.
But
like,
one happens to look like an ugly monster, and the other can blend in with ordinary size.
I don't know why they want one to destroy the other when they could just have two like super weapons.
I didn't understand that. Yeah.
Which one is stronger? Let's use that one. The other one's pretty strong still.
Yeah, they're both. Clearly pretty valuable.
Being the second strongest is still pretty damn strong.
Yeah.
So somewhere along the way here, this is where they get the phone call, right?
Right.
They're walking down the street and like these payphones start ringing, like we're, you know, as they walk along. And so finally Alice answers it and it's Jared Harris on the line. He's like, I think he tells them that they're going to destroy the city.
Yeah.
And that he can get them out, but only if they go and find his daughter.
He's like monitoring like security cameras in the city. Yep.
Yeah. I enjoyed the negotiations, you know, because if you're Mila Jovovich and Joe Valentine, you're like, what else are we going to do? Like, we have no other way out. Like this, I mean, whatever this guy is offering, we really have to take it, you know, not really in a position to negotiate, you know, but they're like talking over like, I don't know, should we do, why not? What else are you doing?
Yeah.
Right, you know?
Yeah. And then somewhere like a scene or two later, the Umbrella members get a phone call too. Like the cell phone rings near where they are, and you just assume that they get the same phone call.
They get the same.
So they're sent on the same mission.
Yeah. So which means to.
So
everybody...
he's trying to guess double the chances of his daughter getting rescued. Maybe, I don't know.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So then after Mila Jovovich kind of escapes the fight with the super orc nemesis guy, they all head towards the girl's school.
Yep.
And then immediately Scooby-Doo it by being like, let's split it up.
Yep.
Which involves handing the reporter a gun. And let's break this down for a second. The reporter is like, I have never held a gun before. And Joe Valentine's like, you're fine. Just hold a gun. You know, shoot people if you have to.
I don't think she just said aim for the head is all she said.
Oh, aim for the head.
Yeah, like that's easy.
I'm like, they're trying to rescue a little girl, is putting a loaded weapon in the hands of someone who's never held one.
A skittish reporter.
Well, also, back in the church, everybody was out of ammo, and I don't ever remember a scene of them stopping at a place where they could get more ammo.
Right.
Maybe Alice brought some along.
Yeah. Clearly this was all just a setup to have the reporter get devoured by a classroom of little kids.
Yeah.
You know, little zombie kids.
And they did the fake out where you thought it was the little girl. I thought it was because of that car accident shot where she was survived it and her arm twitched funky. I thought, oh, this is going to be tragic. They're going to find her and she's going to be a zombie. And sure enough, you get that, you know, creepy girl in the corner shot that's in a lot of early 2000s horror movies where she like turns around. Okay, we got the zombie. So then they kill the little girl zombie or whatever. And then the real little girl comes out. Hey, you've come to save me. And I was like, oh, well, what about the car accident? I was like, wait, she's fine? What?
Yeah.
Like, how did, huh? And that actually took me out of the movie for a few minutes.
She never says anything about the car accident. She doesn't say anything like, yeah, I made it to the school. I thought I'd be safe here. Like, she just, meh.
She's literally like,
we're left to assume. We're left to assume that this was class as usual, and then the virus somehow spread, and the children who weren't infected freaked out and like scattered and like hid in special certain places in the school, and then when everyone pulled out, they became like, you know, shelter in place, and now they're all ragged and scared.
Again, I would say,
but this is only 13 hours.
Yeah,
but they look like they've been there for days.
Well, that's again where I say we're cutting between different characters, like. Maybe what was going on with this girl in this school would have been pretty interesting.
Is she the only one who's not a zombie in the school? Let's just talk about it.
I think so.
So all the other kids in the school are zombies?
Although the only kids you see are that classroom.
Oh, maybe there's other kids that they don't save. So they're going to pull what the hell was I going to say? What's his name? Nick Cage. They're going to pull a Nick Cage. Fear the Ghost and not save the other kids. Pay the Ghost and not save the other kids.
Yeah. And now the Umbrella guys kind of meet up with the... Joe Valentine.
Well, in another scene where, you know, a zombie pops up behind like Jill Valentine, and then one of the Stars guys kills it.
There's a great line where we're just super oversimplifying. He's like, "Oh, are you guys looking for the girl too?" Like, I guess we're just putting it out. Sure.
And now they're friends.
Yeah. Yep, we're
and
all
now
friends.
Now we're friends. Okay,
this
let's go.
Totally non-blossed.
Oh, it was Mike Epps. That's right. It was Mike Epps suit.
Yes.
Oliver or whatever his name is. Saves him. And he's like, oh, you're looking for the girl too? He's like, what? Oh, yeah, the girl. Yeah, sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Sure we are.
But then the same thing happens, I think, in the next scene where with Jill Valentine.
Yes.
Because her and the little girl go into like the cafeteria or something, like the kitchen, and there's the zombie dogs.
Yes.
Well, first off, they run into the Christmas Story Russian accent guy.
They spent a lot of time on him, like setting him up just to kill him.
So this was a point when my husband was just kind of walking in and out while I was watching this movie, and he came back into the room and saw this scene, and he goes, why even give him a name?
Right.
Yeah. Like, we've gone this whole movie without knowing his name. Yeah, we found out his name, and he
gives you more emotion. He's like, hi, I'm Nikolai, whatever, and it's like, bam, he gets
more emotional impact when he dies.
Well, my note is, like, maybe that guy should have focused on killing zombie dogs instead of witty quips and bomb knocks.
He does get killed by the zombie dogs.
He does, absolutely.
He gets attacked by, because he tells Jill to take the girl and run, and then he gets attacked by, like, all the zombie dogs.
Yeah, after delivering a bunch of zingers, you know. So then, like, so...
Oh, my God. I forgot about what dumb happens here.
Yes, this is real dumb.
So she's still running through the kitchen, whatever, with the little girl.
Jill Valentine is,
And, she decides to, she's like trying to get a weapon or something, but the dogs like are there and won't let her. So she like turns on the gas on all the stoves and she like starts running away with the little girl, and they run out the door, and she has like a matchbook, and she like lights the last match.
Which they showed her with a lighter earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why she's now depending on matches.
That was good lighter. She must have let Alice borrow it.
And I don't know if I love or hate this moment of she lights the match and she could not throw it, try to look any cooler as she throws it.
And it does try really downfall. Hard to be cool.
Yeah, if you've ever seen the, like, what's that video where they compile, you
cool guys cool, don't walk from
cool
explosions.
Guys don't
walk,
walking away from explosions. Don't look at explosions. And she tries to look so cool. She's throwing the matchbook behind her. And then the match just blows out and it doesn't blow anything up. And I'm like, again, maybe you should have thought more about the practicality of this other than looking great.
Yeah.
But then I love, because so she runs out the door and Alice is standing there and she's smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
But the cigarette's like halfway smoked. So she must have been standing there like smoking a cigarette for it. Like when she was on a cigarette break and then she saw what was going on, she's like, oh. And she like flicks a cigarette in there and it explodes.
Yeah.
And then so Alice grabs the fire blanket and protects the little girl. Jill Valentine is only a few feet away, and she's totally fine. Yeah. She's not behind a table. She's on a table.
Right, yeah.
No protection at all.
Not even in clothes.
Yeah, completely fine.
Yeah. And this is where, like, the most awkward... I don't know if we've had an exposition scene that was more awkward than this, where they... I'm going to say explain, but they don't even explain it, that the kid has an antidote in her system that...
Yeah, now,
like,
this is weird, well, so...
Okay.
Yeah, okay, you can explain.
Well, because the whole virus that started all this, the zombies and everything, is called the T-virus.
Yeah.
And you learn here that it was created by her father because they have some disease. Like, that's why he's in a wheelchair. And apparently when she was a kid, she had to walk with crutches and stuff. So he invented this T-virus to cure her or to help her symptoms or whatever. And so she, like, injects herself with it daily, I guess. She's got, like, track marks or whatever. And, and then, like, the Umbrella Corporation came and took this from him and weaponized it or whatever, you know. So that's how the T-virus came about. But she's got, like, the antivirus, too. I think, does she, like, inject herself and then...
But the little girl has to inject herself, like an asthma inhaler. She's, right. like, inject herself daily.
Yeah, it's like...
But they inject the mummy with it, and he's cool.
Yeah, he's
one
totally
injection,
fine,
and he's like,
one
oh,
injection.
Thank God, I'm a hero again.
Yeah, like,
healing.
Like,
you're like, oh, okay.
Alice even makes a point of saying, you know, it's you can be fine with it if it's managed correctly, but then he only gets one shot.
I almost wanted this to you know, crackle as the ads. I almost wanted this to be the moment where the film is interrupted by, like, a fake ad for the T-virus antidote. It says, side effects may include, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Talk to your doctor.
I have this movie on DVD, so I didn't have to watch it. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
There's also just a funny...
Well, I laughed. I just want to bring up quick when the mummy meets up with Jill and Alice, and Jill says, like, oh, how many of you guys are there? And he's like, what do you mean? And she, like, points, and Zach Ward's just, like, laying on the floor dead.
Yeah.
He's, like, starts throwing up or something. He's like...
Yeah, it is pretty cash, too. Like, they don't really respect that he might have liked this guy. Right. They're like, how many are you? Because that guy's dead.
That's one line.
He ain't getting up. Wait, he doesn't get
but
up.
But he doesn't, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Dead corpses. People who died.
And he was bit.
People who died
by dogs.
People who died during the influenza of, like, 1914 are, like, underground. And they're popping out of the ground. And this guy just died. And he's okay.
Apparently, the virus does not spread through dogs.
It doesn't, okay.
I guess. There's a great weird line of dialogue at this point where Mila is talking to Oliveira, where she says, and I rewound it because I wanted to hear this twice, see if she said it this way. She says to him, when did you get bitten? And I could not get past it. I'm like, that was the take they went with. No one was like, hey, Mila, we're going to just have you say, when were you bit?
Yeah.
You're going to go with, when did you get bitten?
When did you done get bitten?
Were there take twos or, like, what, you know? I don't blame Mila Jovovich, but
I said, there's this big chunk of the movie that she's not in, and she's the star of the movie, and she didn't feel like the star of the movie.
Well,
so
she had
I wonder,
time for her choreography lessons for the fight.
I guess so. Was she, like, shooting another movie at the same time? I don't know.
Well, this movie also has... We then go into the same problem I think we all had with Ultraviolet, is Mila Jovovich just becomes an unstoppable superhero. There is no threat. There is no point you're like, oh, I wonder if...
She'll succeed, yeah.
Whatever the task is,
she can't
she's
be vulnerable.
Going to do
she
it.
She can't be put in a vulnerable position, so you just don't care. Because, oh, she's just going to kill everybody. Okay.
Yeah.
I just realized, like, her arc is very similar to Ultraviolet in this movie.
Yes.
Except she
dies,
doesn't have the color
and then comes back
hair.
At the end.
Yeah. Yep, protecting a kid who seems to have an antidote in the kid.
So she's a little more friendly to the kid in this one than she was in Ultraviolet.
But. Yeah, that's true. She doesn't... Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, Alice is a much more compassionate...
Yeah,
Alice is a more compassionate person than Ultraviolet is.
Yeah. So now, is this where... Okay, so there. It turns out that the helicopter they think they're getting, actually the company was sending in for the super orc nemesis guy.
Yeah.
And it was all a big trap.
Aha!
Yeah. You thought you were getting a ride in this helicopter?
Well, this is where we find out that the head guy at Umbrella knew that Jared Harris was trying to do this.
Yeah.
The head guy set the trap. Jared Harris really was just trying to save his daughter. The German accent guy let it happen so that they'd all end up at this helicopter.
Yes.
They'd all end up at this helicopter.
Because, again, he really wants Nemesis and Alice to fight.
He really wants to watch this fight happen.
He's got a bet going.
That he could have done in easily 100 other ways I could think of, you know, but that this is the only way he can seem to affect. I actually have a note here. I'm like, wow, that guy really wants to see Mila Jovovich and this orc fight it out. Yeah. I mean, that seems to be his only goal in all of this.
Yeah.
And then they also reveal the twist that the orc is that other dude.
Well, I mean, you knew that the whole movie.
Yeah, so I wouldn't really call that a twist.
Basically,
yeah.
Like a assuming,
I think it's a twist to her because I don't think she figured it out to that moment. Because then all of a sudden she's like, "Oh wait, you were my friend." But she's been having these flashbacks the whole movie.
Well, they kept showing us the stock footage of Eric Mabius, and I was like, I feel like there's a reason they're showing us stock footage of this guy or file footage of this guy.
Well, at the end, I think they had it in here too, where they say, bring him to the Nemesis program or something like that.
Okay.
So
I had totally forgotten. Free, Okay. I
probably while you're reading about a Fleetwood Mac, that's what
it's probably. Yeah. Again, rumors. Yeah. It is a little overrated. You know, I mean, when you get a headline like that, it sucks you in. There's something so ridiculously funny about when the super orc uses the rocket launcher that it's very entertaining.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
You know, and when Mila Jovovich realizes it's her friend, so she won't kill him. And then the scientist guy is
fine.
He remembers. Like Nemesis remembers her.
And
maybe because she didn't kill him, he's like sympathetic. Like I don't know what happened.
What happened there. It's all communicated to us in the audience in the close up of an orc eye. You know, like you're just supposed to read into that whatever you want, I suppose.
Yeah.
I'm a little hazy because my notes get bad at this point. He fires a rocket at... What does he fire a rocket... The orc fires a rocket at something.
Was it the helicopter? There was like a helicopter there that was like shooting at them or something.
Yes, okay, that's it, yeah.
And so he shoots the helicopter and then he gets crushed by the helicopter, right?
Was it a
helicopter?
I think so, yeah.
He gets crushed by something.
He gets crushed by something and then... The good guys are going to, or the scientist guy gets into his helicopter and he's like, get me out of here. And then sitting in the pilot's
seat. Like, why is it taking so long?
Why is it taking so long? And Mike Epps is like,
because I used to drive a Cadillac. Yeah. What?
And I'm like, what? Like, when did Mike Epps? Okay. And this is where I just started to, like, my brain was, like, done for the day, you know, at this point. But why did they leave Jared Harris behind?
He's dead. Yeah, because the scientist guy...
He shot him.
When he was saying, you have to fight Nemesis. If you don't fight him, I'll kill these people. Oh, you don't believe me? Turn around and shoot Jared Harris.
He shot Jared Harris. So when we saw Jared Harris crawling later, he's now a zombie. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Okay. All right.
For some reason, even though he was never bitten.
He's never bitten.
They're infected.
Why the Russian guy wasn't one.
Yeah. No. Okay.
No, he can't have the T-virus. He's still in the wheelchair. The little girl has the T-virus, and that's why she can walk. He's still in the wheelchair. It made no sense.
I didn't know.
But she needs to continue to inject herself, but the other guy only gets one injection, and Mia Jovovich doesn't bother to inject herself because she has this thing, too. And it doesn't give the little girl super strength.
Whatever the plot decides.
Yes. Yeah, whatever it
needs
to be.
Sometimes it turns you into a super orc. And sometimes it makes you just look like Mia Jovovich with superpowers.
Sometimes you're not. Yeah. Sometimes you're not.
So when the good guys all then get into this helicopter and take off.
This is where this movie ends.
Right.
And movie three begins.
This gave us the second ending. Yeah.
Who was flying the helicopter?
There was somebody in the cockpit with Mike Epps.
Okay. I think it was the pilot.
The original pilot.
The original pilot. So that original pilot saw Mike Epps come in and he's like, hey man, this is a great prank.
Let's switch seats quick. I'll give it back. But
I'm a big fan of pranks. I'm going to go along with this. I know it's my boss is going to get punched, but you know what? He'll enjoy it. Okay. Because I was like, I was missed
you
by that.
You seem like a fun guy.
Yeah. You're telling good
Thanks
jokes.
Thanks for letting me call you LJ.
Yeah. Yep. So they're flying out in the helicopter. And there's a funny line where at some point someone's like, hey, aren't they about to nuke the city? And someone's like, yeah, but we're fine.
Yeah, no, you're not.
Not fine.
Yeah, no, you're not.
Not
no,
fine.
No, you're not.
The blast.
I don't know if this was like a reference to, have you ever seen Return of the Living Dead? It's like fantastic. It's like one of the best. It's great. But at the end of the movie, the characters are all like holed up in a building and they call the government and they're like, we need to get out of here. And the government's like, okay. And then they just like nuke the city.
Okay.
And kill everybody. So I don't know if it's like a reference to that or not or anything.
Oh,
but,
maybe.
Or maybe this is ripped off the ending, but.
And he's giving the film a lot of credit that it would be.
Return of the Living Dead is really good. You should watch it though. It's funny.
Well, because I'm watching this and then, you know, so the city blows up. The helicopter gets caught on the shockwave. The helicopter crashes.
Well, Mijovic gets dies. Like, she gets like, oh, because someone protects, shoots.
Oh, you're right. You're
It's the door, the back door of the helicopter. There's like a piece of shrapnel
stabs her. She protects the little girl.
Yeah, she does. She
stabs a piece of shrapnel and dies.
And but then wakes up crashes. In the
Empire Strikes Back tube.
Well, it crashes, and then like the umbrella guys come, and everyone's gone, and they recover Mila Jovovich's body, and I'm like, end of movie.
Right.
Stop.
She's dead.
Go to right.
No, well, no, we're in movie three
door,
now.
Don't leave the door open for like, oh, maybe weird science stuff is going on.
But it's not even like a quick like ending like.
It's like
her eyes open or something. It's like they do like another 10 minutes. 2 or 3
like
scenes.
Like it could have ended just with the shot of her in the suspended animation thing, and that would
have been fine.
Clearly, that leaves it open for
like,
a sequel.
Like literally, that was like I think 3 separate chapters on the DVD was like just that end after this point.
I kept seeing a shot, and I'm like, this is the fight. Nope. Okay, nope, still go. Like there were like so many.
Even when she came out and she was surrounded by like the laser pointers too, like the laser sights. I was like, okay, that's the ending.
That's the
what?
Nope.
And I was like, well, wait a minute. Now all of her friends come out to save her, but wait, were they Umbrella the whole time? And it's kind of a bizarre switcheroo. No, they literally somehow figured out, infiltrated the Umbrella Corporation, and now they are rescuing Mio.
Yeah, so her. Yeah,
well,
like,
this is also where we get the exposition via reporters.
We have to explain away the video camera. Yeah, why not just have the video camera get destroyed?
Right. The tape comes out.
Who and somebody else was scandal. Like shooting on the whole time after the reporter died.
Right.
Yeah.
And then now Jill Valentine and Oliveira they're accused of faking the whole thing, and Umbrella is the good guy.
And there was a nuclear power plant meltdown.
Yeah.
Well, and can you also explain, at one point when Mila Jovovich escapes again from the Umbrella Corporation at the end of this movie.
She has a lot of escaping from laboratories.
Yeah, she really, like, that's like, clearly that's like her thing. It's like, I'm Mila Jovovich, I break out of laboratories. So the security guard is watching her for some reason on all the security monitors. He takes the same shot and puts it up on like,
I don't know if that was her. Or?
Yeah, I assumed that was her.
Oh, that was her. Okay,
so if she can give a guy like a brain bleed like from
first she's a terrible director. I mean, why would you put that up on all of the preview monitors? Right. I mean, you know, it's the same thing. But how by looking at a camera was she saying, yeah, whoever the guy is who's looking at this, I'm going to make his nose and eyes bleed.
I think they're saying, because they've done all these extra experiments on her now, that she's like got these new abilities, psychic abilities, whatever she's got, I don't know. But so she knows he's watching her, and then she uses that, I don't know. It was just like one of those, like, oh, it would be really cool if she makes this guy's brain explode from through a camera or whatever.
So Alice is not in, as far as you know, any Resident Evil games, right?
No.
And is there no...
There might be a character named Alice, but it's not.
Okay.
So the last thing like I want to say is that these movies are so completely far from, especially like after this point, from what the video games were, at least the first couple.
Yeah.
Because the first video game, like I love the first video game. I was so excited about the first movie because the first video game is just so cool. You're in a mansion in the middle of the woods and you know, and there's all these zombies and you have to like do all these puzzles. It was just like a really cool, creepy game. So I was like, oh, that would make a cool movie. And then the movie was like in like a lab and it was just so dumb. And then this movie just turned into an action movie. And from what I can tell, the rest of the movies are just action movies.
I believe.
And so you have this character who's like the main character that they follow through all these movies, who's like just this, I don't know what she could be at this point.
It's not even about like horror or zombie attacks anymore either. It's more like sci-fi monster making and like psychic brain splitting.
Right. Yeah. Which the games kind of ended up being more action-y too later on, but the first couple were like just zombies and monsters and you know, that kind of stuff. And these movies are just... if at the end of the movie, this woman's like basically like a cyborg or something. Like she's got like Nemesis vision.
I guess, yeah. Like she blinks her eye and like the Umbrella logo comes up. Like it was all just so weird.
I'm curious to see like what she would be now. And you know, I've never seen anything past this one because I was so disappointed in it, but...
Yeah, me either.
Like where that goes.
Yeah.
One thing that I don't know if maybe I accidentally looked at the wrong thing or there was a mistake on Amazon, but I was looking at Amazon to see if this movie was on Amazon, and the shot of her at the end, like when she walks out and she's, you know, she's holding the sheet around her and the line of "My name is Alice and I remember everything," that was the poster for this movie on Amazon.
Was the teaser for the third film, basically.
Right, like
I think that's one of the covers I've seen.
Was this edited backwards then? Was this originally supposed to be the opening scene and attacked it at the end?
No, No, this is Seth, the third movie.
Yeah, to have the poster for this movie be the very end.
Well, I mean, what else? There's nothing else really she does throughout the whole movie. That's like
they could take the exact same scene just from the beginning.
From the beginning of the movie, when she breaks out of a lab.
It seems like this movie didn't
Well, but that was the end of the first movie, though. So.
Well, that's true.
That's
yeah.
true. That's true. Yeah. That should have been their thing, that she breaks out of two labs in every movie. One is a recap. Another one's like, no, this is the new
setup.
Lab.
Yep. Yeah. The setup and the recap and the setup.
All right, so here's our So Wrong It's Right question. The director of this film is Paul W.S. Anderson.
Oh, no, yeah. I think he directed this one. I think he wrote it.
I think,
He directed Mortal Kombat.
Oh, I'm sorry. You are correct. He did not direct this
one. Did he direct Mortal Kombat?
He directed the first one and wrote this one.
He wrote this one. He then went back to direct.
Was that the question?
Did
I get it right?
Well, kind of. Well, he directed then Resident Evil at Afterlife and Retribution and the final chapter one. So he was the series' director and then he returned to it. We have done two Paul W.S. Anderson movies previously on the podcast.
Okay.
And can anyone name the two of them?
That he directed?
Yeah.
He did not direct Mortal Kombat Annihilation. I do believe he directed the first one, though.
Oh, I'm sorry. We only did one then. Sorry. I was thinking, I forgot which Mortal
Kombat. Has he directed any movies that you
know? I know.
He directed the first one. I do not believe he directed
the
second
one.
Yeah, so he did one.
But he
possibly directed the second one.
I do remember his name popping up at one
point. No, because it was a different director for the second one.
He directed, here's a hint, it is one of my favorite movies.
Oh, he directed 88 Minutes?
The Happening?
No. It's one of my favorite episodes we've ever done.
Is this the one? Wait, was it? I Know
it
Who
wasn't
Killed
Trespass.
Me?
No, that is one of my favorite ones.
Oh, oh my God! Was it the? Oh, oh my Lord! What was that movie?
I will. Let me see if I can give another hint on
the
it.
The movie with the porn star in it.
No! It wasn't
the
Lindsay Lohan.
The Canyons. I was going to call it the Hills.
That was
the Canyons.
It
okay.
was.
That was the
Radio Exorcist. How can I give a hint of who was in this?
Oh, yeah.
It is another movie with a lot of accent issues.
Gods of Egypt?
It is not Gods of Egypt, although not far off. A lot of accent issues.
Hercules?
Accent issues.
Is it Gerard Butler?
It's not Gerard Butler. 2014, a lot of accent issues. All right, but let's put it this way. It's possibly the greatest meet cute we've ever had on the show where a character...
Is it the Tom Cruise one?
No, Pompeii.
Did he do
Pompeii?
Oh,
I didn't.
Pompeii.
I didn't see Pompeii because I wasn't in that episode.
I don't know if you've seen it, Grissy, but where
I've seen it.
The guy meets his future girlfriend and impresses her by immediately killing
her
horse with
his
bare hands.
Yeah.
I think, isn't he married to Mia Jovovich?
I was spared this one.
Or at one point it was.
I think because
I was wondering earlier, like, why she's in all the movies, and that just popped in my head that if he directed more of them, then he's married to her.
Yes, they were engaged.
She needs to keep
They were married in 2009. Yeah,
wasn't that similar? Isn't that similar? Like, isn't the guy who does all the Underworld movies like married to Kate Beckinsale? Isn't it like a similar situation?
I think he was married to Kate Beckinsale.
Oh, okay.
I think they're now divorced. I mean, that series
still in those movies.
So
no, it's too bad that Mia Jovovich wasn't in Pompeii then.
That actually doesn't seem strange that she's not in Pompeii. Yeah. Also, looking at his
There's
filmography...
There's no opportunity for kung fu fighting in Pompeii.
They could have put it as inaccurate as the movie was.
They could have
I would have been surprised.
That's true.
Shaolin monks came to Pompeii
in the past
like
700
years before they existed.
He has only directed two movies that don't either have Death Race or Resident Evil in the title. He did the 2011 Three Musketeers movie and Pompeii. Every other... He has done three Death Race movies... In a ton
Death
of Resident
Race.
Evil movies. Yeah,
I love
this
Death
is.
Race.
He also did Event Horizon, which I'm not going to say is a good movie.
It was okay.
But it's not,
it wasn't great.
Yeah,
but...
It leaves me with that it should be better feeling, but it's not horrendous.
Yeah, I remember I saw that when it was new.
Yeah.
I was really like excited for it for some reason because I was in a sci-fi kick.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the idea of
it was
haunted spaceship.
Okay.
I mean, you know, while we're talking about video games, I mean, that's why Dead Space is such a great video game, because the idea of a haunted spaceship is inherently like a fascinating idea. A vacant, empty spaceship is like, ooh. And Event Horizon kind of promised you that, but then sort of delivered something else in its like final act.
Yeah.
All right, I think that does it for this one. We'll be back soon. We have... a whole bunch of crazy movies that we are considering that I'm not going to make the mistake of teasing. We'll make that mistake again. But we will be back. And as always, follow our Facebook page. I had a good laugh. I was just looking at some pictures on that from Mortal Kombat Annihilation. And get the latest updates there.
Oh, we should mention, too, like I mentioned before, this is like this month is 5 years since we started the podcast.
That's right. Five years. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It's been such a long time.
That's true. And
so many fallen soldiers. Brian Mueller, Andy Wolf.
Well, both of them, we'll get both of them back on.
We should try to get everyone we've ever had as a host in one room for one episode.
They're all over the country now.
Oh, my God. They're literally all over the country. Yeah, that would be hard. And you can get all of our older episodes on stopthemoviepodcast.podbean.com. Mm-hmm. There's some really good ones on there. Because iTunes limits us to 20,
I didn't even check iTunes anymore. Really,
I think it's 20 most recent ones. On, but some of those are really funny older ones. Yeah. All right, I think that will do it. We will be back very soon. All right, bye. All right.